The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let him enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We tend to love, if not idolize, our power structures in our society. Much of the social unrest that we see throughout history into our present day are pushbacks against power structures and hierarchies that oppress and even kill. And much of that is due to the distinctions that we make between people and between those who are deserving and undeserving. And that gets into those distinctions and classifications and hierarchies that we set up. I remember a rabbi once telling me that there are prayers that have existed within Judaism where a male Jewish person would get up and say, and thank God and say, "Thank God I am not a Gentile. Thank God I am not a woman. Thank God I am not a slave." There have been modern revisions of that prayer in the more affirmative. Thank God I am a Jew. Thank God I am a man, right? Thank God I am free, right? It's good to not define ourselves by what we're not. It's also good to define ourselves, define other people by what they're not, by who they are. But looking at that negative phrasing there, thank God I'm not a man. Thank God I'm not a Gentile. Thank God I'm not a slave. And then you come across what Paul writes here in Galatians. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. That sounds very radical and provocative here. The power structures and hierarchies are no more in Christ. But we trust a system that perpetuates a status quo that harms, alienates, and oppresses people. It's what we see in our gospel lesson with the demoniac. He's shackled, pushed to the margins. You might remember when we first started supporting Royal Family Kids, which is a foster care summer camp. They had in their literature that 70% of people in prison have had some kind of contact with the foster care system. 80% of people on death row had some connection with the foster care system. We don't seek to do any kind of intervention or reform with that system that's feeding right into our prison system. And then when it comes to our prison system as well, we punish addiction. We punish mental illness. We don't treat those things. We punish it. We don't seek to rehabilitate people who are imprisoned. They get out, and what happens oftentimes? They go back in, back to be shackled. What happens to the demoniac in Luke's gospel? Gets out, right? It says he's guarded and shackled, but would break free. And then they get him right back to where they felt he belonged. A world with those kind of structures and hierarchies is a world with no grace or compassion. You and I might not question the system, but sooner or later, I believe if you live long enough, you will see how disposable you are to this world. It could come due to your age, disability, or illness, but if you live long enough, if you haven't experienced that kind of sentiment or prejudice already, you will see just how disposable you are to this world with no grace or compassion. And the reality is that when we disrupt the systems of power in this world, when things are going well for others, that becomes a problem. And we ourselves might not be aware of the problems, of the suffering, because things are going well for us. So we don't question, we don't want to rock the boat. And quite frankly, it might upset the bottom line for many, as we see happened in Luke's gospel today for the swineherds. We often fail to envision a world where the suffering can be alleviated and the oppressed liberated. Which is why I find that just that kind of narrative note in Luke's gospel and how for many times it had seized him, the demoniac, he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. He'd break those bonds, be driven into the wilds, only to keep going back. The people just kept doing the same thing to him. They were not interested in tending to his pain or liberation, and by no means did they have any desire to integrate him into the community. They kept bringing him back and shackling him, containing him to the margins. We might read that today and say, man, these people were foolish. They lack compassion. But as I pointed out, I think our prison system has that same sentiment. Not tending to people's pain, suffering, or trauma, not addressing the underlying problem, not treating things like addiction or mental illness, but punishing it, no desire to integrate those who have served their time. We have faith in the power structures of this world that have no compassion or grace. We are content with many who are not helped and continue to be sent back and shackled, contained to the margins, guarded like the demoniac. But as Christians, it isn't the power structures of this world that we're supposed to have faith and trust in. It isn't the power structures of this world that makes us alive. It's Jesus Christ. The world may give us something from time to time, but as I pointed out, these structures will turn on you eventually if they haven't already. These structures turned on Jesus, nailing him to a cross. But the good news is that that was not the end for him. Christ ultimately destroys the power structures and systems of this world. They are crushed. And not only are those systems crushed, but a new way and a new kingdom is established through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith and trust move from the broken power structures of this world to be placed in the one who has come to restore all of God's creation. The good news is that we are children of God. In Christ, the structures and the hierarchies and the distinctions are no more. We're part of a new creation and a new family. As we hear in Galatians, for in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. When our trust is in Christ and not the broken systems and hierarchies and distinctions of our world, we can truly center ourselves in who we are and whose we are as our primary identity. As we hear in Galatians, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. You've heard me say it before. What do you have to do to earn an inheritance? Nothing. An inheritance is given to you. We are heirs of a promise. We place our trust, our faith, in the one whose love on the cross delivered us and then delivers to us a promise that will come to pass, a promise that gives us life everlasting and new life today. Again, what we see in Galatians and in the way of Jesus that is in contrast to our world is that the way of Jesus does not define us by what we can do and produce. Christ has showed us a new way and invited us to lean into a new identity. Christ has included us in this new way, in this new system, and this new kingdom. The restoration, as I said, of the demoniac in Luke's gospel comes at the cost of the status quo. We hear that people don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. They're terrified. They're afraid. Because there are times what Jesus has to offer might not be about you, but someone else. And in restoring the other, it might upset what we're used to. It could even impact the bottom line for some of us. But the status quo kept that man shackled, guarded, and oppressed. The grace of God in this instance restructures things in such a way that not only is this man restored, but he can be fully integrated into the community. I love it when he tries to follow Jesus. He gets on the boat and Jesus says, go home. You have a home now. You have a place where you belong, where you can fully belong. And not only that, but they kicked Jesus out, right? They said, you need to go. And in saying, go home, but tell them what God has done. He leaves behind a witness to God's great mercy and compassion in Jesus Christ. We're given restoration and new life. That's what Christ has to offer us. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. In the ministry entrusted to us, distinctions are no longer made. It's one of the purposes behind our free community meal. It's offered to everyone, period. Over the years, I've noticed that when doing social outreach in various ministry contexts, we want to make those distinctions between deserving and undeserving, but that's importing the power structures, the hierarchies, and the distinctions of this world into the ministry of the church. How free and liberating it is for us that are serving the meal on Wednesday to not have to stress about qualifications, meal limits, or any other distinctions or power structures the world has set up. People drive up or come into the fellowship hall and say, I need 3 meals, 2 meals, 10 meals. We just do it. In Christ, there's no longer distinction. We're free to live into a ministry of grace. We can live into this ministry of grace that restructures the power of this world, even if it's only for a moment in the lives of those that we serve. We can live into this ministry of grace that restructures the power of this world in not just responding to the crisis and the hardships and traumas that people are currently experiencing, but we can also intervene ahead of time and not just react but prevent horrible things from happening in the lives of people if we take this ministry of grace seriously. But it means not being consumed with the power structures of this world and being comfortable with the status quo. Let us love others with no distinction as Christ has loved us. And may that love of Jesus that we share continue to transform our lives, those we serve, and the world around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.